In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. So there was a church, and in this church, every Sunday, two older sisters would sit in the front pew. And one Sunday, the preacher got up into the pulpit and said, "Today, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk to you about sin." And the sisters started yelling, "Amen." And he said, "I want to talk to you about the sin of greed." And they started clapping. And then the preacher said, "I want to talk to you about the sin of pride." And they stood up and started shouting. And he said, "I want to talk to you about the sin of lust." And they were cheering. And he said, "I want to talk to you about the sin of gossip." And the two sisters crossed their arms and sat down. And one leaned to the other and said, "Well, now the preacher's just meddling." This gospel reading today is a very difficult reading, but it'll come as a surprise, maybe, that I really love this gospel reading. And I don't love it because I'm so bound to the rules or because I'm a very harsh person. But I love this gospel reading because of what is written sort of in the undertones of this gospel. This gospel reading reminds me a lot of a very infamous interview 35 years ago of the then president, Jimmy Carter. He was asked, "Have you ever committed adultery?" And Jimmy Carter said, "Well, I've lusted in my heart." You just kind of want to go, "Oh, bless his heart." Well, this passage is a very commonly misunderstood passage, and it's a misinterpreted passage. And on top of that, it is a misused passage. And in fact, it is misused in the way that is opposite of what Jesus was trying to get at. The passage starts off where Jesus talks about, you know it's wrong to murder. The law says it's wrong to murder. But even if you are angry, you are liable to the same punishment as murder. And you know it's wrong because the law says it's wrong to commit adultery. But even if you look at someone lustfully, you have committed adultery. And then Jesus goes on and he says, even those who have done things legally, gotten a divorce legally, if you divorce and remarry, you have committed adultery. Now, let me just ask you, after hearing this gospel read, or hearing me recap it, I'm imagining that just about everybody in here is just a little uncomfortable. And I bet everybody in here is just a little bit confused. And that is exactly the point. Jesus is trying to make his listeners uncomfortable. But what Jesus is not doing, and the mistake we often make when we hear this reading, what Jesus is not doing is he is not giving us new commandments. In fact, Jesus only once ever said, "I give you a new commandment." Does anybody even remember what that one new commandment was? Love one another. You guys are good. So this is not what Jesus is doing. He's not making up anything new. He's not taking the law and trying to make it even stricter. Unfortunately, this is how this passage gets misused. What Jesus is doing is he is talking about judgment, and he is talking about looking at others and being self-righteous. And in this passage, Jesus is making a larger point about sin. This is not sin in the sense of just simply breaking rules, but sin is anything that puts us at odds with God or with others. It is anything that steers us off of a path where we are oriented directly toward God. Now, the problem is that we all live our life. We all, at every single point of our life, none of us are directly oriented toward God. Our path toward God, as we are trying to make our way there, is a very crooked and windy path. And often we end up backtracking, getting lost, trying to readjust and finding our way. It's part of the human experience. We get there eventually, but the path is not easy or without challenge. There are always a few rocks to climb over, and we always have to readjust. And so when Jesus is explaining sin in this way, he is saying that all people have sin. And even those who have followed to a T, crossed every T, dotted every I, followed every established rule without fault, even that person is a sinner. You have heard it said, you have heard that it was said in those ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders is liable to judgment." But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother and sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the hell of fire. So here's what Jesus is doing. He is using a rhetorical device. A bit of two things. One, he's using hyperbole, exaggerating to make a point, but he's also doing a bit of a bait and switch. So you can imagine if you're listening to this for the first time, and Jesus goes, "Well, you know, the law says don't murder." And we have our friends standing up in the front row, "Yeah, cheering. I hate those murderers." And then he says, "But if you get angry with someone, you also have committed that sin." And then you hear silence, maybe a few crickets chirping in the background. And then he goes on and he does the same thing. "You have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery." Again, people standing up cheering, "Yeah, down with those adulterers." And then he says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And the place goes silent, maybe a little murmuring, a cough in the background. And then he continues on with his hyperbole. And he says, of course we all know that the punishment for adultery is stoning. So clearly if your eye caused you to sin, you should pluck it out and throw it away. Or if your hand caused you to sin, chop it off and throw it away. Now Jesus knows fully well no one is going to do this. No sane person would really go about doing that. And that is exactly where he's going with this. But what about those people who have followed the law to a T and done everything right? Clearly they have done no harm. And so he continues and he says, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." That was the way the law works. Remember, this is exactly as we were told, no harm done, right? And then Jesus again makes people uncomfortable and he says, "But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on ground of unchastity causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." And I think he's especially here addressing something that was going on in his time, which is, if you could imagine, a woman in the time of Jesus had no legal standing in society. She had to be bound to a man, either her father, a close relative, or her husband. So if you have a wife and you just kick her out of the house, Yes, you've done everything by the law. Yes, you've done everything to a T. At the same time, where does that leave this woman? Probably forced to beg or go into prostitution. Hopefully somebody might pick her up. And so, again, while we followed the law, has harm been done? So what Jesus is getting at all this? Again, it's not about making new rules. Jesus is not telling us that we can't be angry. Jesus is not telling us we should pluck our eye out if it wanders. Jesus is not saying that divorced people can't get remarried. And in fact, we know this from real life because we've lived life. We know we get angry. We know the eye wanders. And we know that we have all come across people who have had a healthy, productive, godlike marriage, even if it's the second or third time around. So we know through our life experience this can't really be true. And in fact, if we try to claim it is the case that these are new sins and enforce it, then we become the very problem that Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is saying is this. Jesus is saying that all get angry. Jesus is saying that all, from time to time, have had a wandering eye. And Jesus is saying, even if you do everything by the letter of the law, it doesn't always turn out for the best. But Jesus is also saying that we should regard one another with respect. We should regard everyone with respect, no matter what that person has done, no matter what their sin is. What Jesus is saying is that adulterers and murderers are no worse than the righteous, and the righteous are no better than the sinners. Well, now the preacher's just meddling. It can be a little tough to think about this. It's the harder part of the gospel. Remember that the law of Moses was given to the people 1,000 years before Jesus' time, in a certain context that is very different than Jesus. St. Paul talks about this in our letter from 1 Corinthians, and he says, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. And in many ways, the law of Moses, or sometimes these simplistic rules that we put forth for society, sometimes those are the milk that St. Paul is talking about. Whereas if we look at solid food is a lot more complex. And sometimes we know that solid food can give you indigestion. Sometimes solid food is great for a while. Hey, I could eat a whole pound of fudge. It doesn't mean I'm not going to regret it an hour from now. But with solid food, we have to be more sensible. It does not mean that we can consume indiscriminately, but it does mean that we have freedom. And with freedom comes a certain responsibility. The other part of this is that we have to recognize that all of us, each and every one of us, is sorting through this. We all are given the solid food. And when people have the responsibility, people make mistakes. And sometimes those are great mistakes that do great harm and have great consequences. And because of this, because we're all in the same boat together, it does not give us license to hold another person any more accountable than we hold ourselves. Because we have all made great mistakes that have done great harm and have had great consequences. And so rather than getting hung up on what others have done, we are called to care for one another regardless of what the other has done. Rather than first holding someone else accountable for her or his actions, let us remember first to hold ourselves accountable for our own actions. Part of being a disciple is seeing the humanity in others and seeing the humanity in ourselves. It is remembering that our world is not simplistic like milk, but it is complex like the solid food. It is remembering those words that Jesus said in the gospel, that if your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and first go and reconcile with your sister or brother. Being a disciple means that you forgive first and ask questions later. And so let us be disciples who see one another for our humanity and not for those things that we have done. Amen.